Bhujana Nilamani, chapter 2. The assistants to Krishna, the coward boys, the Sahayas, we heard about them. And there's also a group of gopis, sakis, that there's four kinds of gopi helpers to help Radha and Krishna meet together, and all the gopis in their Madhurya Ras pastimes. Sarupa Goswami briefly defines and introduces them. And whenever you read Leelas, you'll see how they're busy with their work, their seva. 16 and 17. Krishna has four kinds of gopi friends, sakis, which help him make arrangements for his amorous pastimes with the gopis. They have, some of them have similar names to the boys. There's Chaita boys and Chaita girls. That's one, then Kinkar, then Pittamarda, and then Viraha, V-I-R-A. Many gopi messengers, go-betweens, they carry messages or like love letters or whatever. Many gopi messengers also help arrange for Krishna's amorous pastimes. They will be described later in the chapter on the gopis. But since it's appropriate to mention something now, we will mention. And that's how he says. In text 18, Rupa Goswami says that in other words, messengers are gopis or boys or coward girls, which help Radha and Krishna get together by carrying news, carrying letters, indicating the meeting place, or doing, maybe even carrying prasadam or clothing or flowers or malas or so many different things. So not only are the gopis and gopas messengers, but so Krishna's flute is also considered a messenger. So it says that there's a duty. Duty means messenger. Then there's swayam duty. There's a whole category of messengers called swayam, means me. That I send messages. I send messages with my flute or with the movements of my eyes. So we'll read about all of those. Krishna has quite a very deep and variegated messenger service. I mean, I guess Krishna has as many outlets for sending messages as we do. You know, we have chat and we have SMS and we have WhatsApp and we have this and chat. I don't know, so many things. Email to send some information. So Krishna and the gopis, they have so many ways they send messages. So Rupa Goswami begins by describing in text 8 that Krishna's flute also carries messages to the gopis. This is 18. Krishna says, Krishna personally arranges for his pastimes. So sometimes Krishna doesn't send a messenger, he arranges himself. Or sometimes his flute. So here's an example. Vishakha is speaking to Radharani. Oh Radha, when Madhava casts his sidelong glances, those glances act like an expert magician. And they completely hypnotize and mesmerize the gopis, like a magic spell. Radharani, I know that you're very pure in heart, but it appears to me that this magician of Krishna's sidelong glances has cast a spell over you, stunned you and filled you with wonder. So Vishakha is observing some amazing changes in Radharani's behavior. And she can understand that somehow Krishna has sent her a message, that he's personally met her somewhere, invited her to meet him later, himself directly, not through a go-between, not through a sakha, not through a sakhi, not by his flute, not by a note. And by that, when he glanced at Radharani, she became stunned in bliss, stumba, type of sattvic bhava. So there's Krishna personally. That's called swayam duty. I do it myself. Like they say in America, if you want something done right, you must do it yourself. It's like somebody cooks for you, but if you know how to cook, then you say thank you, but can't wait till the next meal when you cook. Because if anyone cooks for their Thakurji, they know that no food, no prasad can taste like what they themselves cook. Because it's your bhav. You're offering your bhav, and you're offering your loving bhav to Krishna, and Krishna's offering his loving bhav back to you in the prasad. And then you experience the combination of your love with Krishna's love, and that's what makes your personal offerings to Krishna so tasty and so supremely satisfying. Whereas someone else, they may say, oh, this is not very good, or I don't like this. But this, everyone's taste in love is different. The one you love is not the one I love. There's something about it, because it's materially wise, or the taste of the food or the preparations may be extremely more labor-intensive and costly and amazing arrangements done by others. But no one can match the love you have in your heart for your beloved. And what does a husband feel, and what does he see in the eyes of his wife? The bus driver doesn't see that. He doesn't feel that. Because it's not the wife or the husband. So this is the intimacy and the personal. Everyone, many men may look at the wife, but when the husband looks at the wife, it's a different way. So everyone's worshipping deities, but only you are worshipping your deity. So you're going to look at your deity in a certain way, and he's going to look at you, and you're going to reciprocate with each other. This is the bhakti marg. It's you and Krishna. It's very individual. It's your offering. I have to make an offering to my deity, people say. I have to because I'm starving, but I also want to to please him. So Krishna, sometimes he's his own messenger. And Jiva Goswami says, Swayam Duti means the natural messenger. And then sometimes, then Vishnu says, this is Vishaka. And the word and the verse is that Krishna uses himself and sometimes karmani. Karmani in this case means Krishna uses herbs to bring a person under control. Seems like in Braj that's going on a long time, using herbs to control someone else. Apparently Krishna uses herbs to control the gopis. And the present day Brajvasis that are a little ill-motivated, sometimes they give to the foreigners, ladies, they give them datura or ban lassis. That's not so bad, but datura is, of course, what Shiva, that's his sweet rice. datura is poisonous fruit from a, what we call a weed, but arca plant or whatever it is. And that's offered to Shiva. It's all spikes and spiny on it. So they can take that and boil it and mix it in a laddu, and they feed it to someone, and then they go a little bit crazy for about 3 days. And the effect of datura is that no one remembers anything that happened to them, something like whiskey or so. But datura is really, you're just totally out, you're like sleeping for 3 days, hopefully. And a chance you may not wake up also, depending on the dose. It's a poison. So these mischievous local folks, they do this type of thing, which we're aware of. So anyone that's from the West would be very careful to take any food from anyone. It's very dangerous, especially the female gender. Sorry to say, but that's using herbs to control women, so to speak, in a very negative way. Because Krishna is controlled by love, so already the gopis are going to control him by their love. So if you're under the control of somebody, it's very difficult for you to usurp the control. So Krishna is being controlled by the gopis, but then whenever he wants to try to take control, he has to use his flute, or he has to personally invite them, or even has to resort to herbs and tantric. The gopis don't have to do anything. They don't have to resort to anything or any kind of herbs to control Krishna. They just smile. They just smile or wink at Krishna, then he's completely controlled. So this is what Garga Rishi's daughter, she's saying he uses his flute. And she's saying, may the sweet, this is verse 19, May the sweet flute song of Krishna, which is his authorized messenger, very interesting translation, his authorized messenger, be glorified, for this flute song releases Radharani from her shyness and attracts her out of her home and into the forest so she can meet Krishna. That's a verse from Lalita Madhav 1.2.4. So this is the Gargi, who is the Brahminical daughter of Gargacharya. So these Brahminical daughters like Gargi or Nandimukhi, they're Brahmins and Purnamasi. They're moving around amongst the Brijvasis, and they're like advisors to the ladies, just like the village Brahmin. The village Brahmin knows Ayurveda, so he can give you medicines and help your health. And he knows Jyotirveda. He knows about stars and planets and how to counteract doshas and difficulties in life due to karmic position of the planets. So he's a very helpful, knowable person. So this, these ladies, Gargi and Nandi Mukhi, they're considered like gurus for all the sakis, because they're simple coward girls. So they say, oh Gargi, oh Nandi Mukhi, what festival, how are we supposed to do this festival? Or how do we perform this ritual? Or what is this auspicious time? Or what is that auspicious time? So they're the Brahminical advisors to the ladies section. Whereas Vasudeva and Nanda Baba, they have Garga Muni and Bhaguri Muni and Shandilya Muni and different rishis that advise them about what is auspicious and what yagyas to perform and what pujas to do for the benefit and welfare of Krishna and Balaram. So this is Gargi. She's saying that just see when Krishna, the power of this messenger, that Krishna simply plays his flute and Radharani runs into the forest. Now there's a group of other gopis, the actual female gopis, maidservants, gopi messengers. They're called Aptaduti, Duti. And then there's names of the messengers are Veera Devi and Brinda and Menaka and others. He says Veera Sakhi and Brinda Sakhi are the leaders of Krishna's gopi messengers. Veera, her characteristic is she speaks with arrogance and pride, and Brinda Devi speaks very sweetly. So generally, everybody has the impression that Brinda Devi is very sweet and very kind to the devotees. And of course she is. And we take advantage of her compassion and sweetness to advance in bhakti. But Veera, interesting, her name is Veera. And Veera is one of the Gona rasas, the secondary rasas, Veera ras. And Veera means chivalry, heroism, aggression, power, strength, courage. He's very virtuous and virile. Virile means strong. So her name is Veera. And her characteristic is that she speaks very with lots of pride and arrogance. And that's how Kshatriyas speak. That's how Kshatriyas and fighters, they speak. I am Bhima, punch Pandava. I am Gandiva Raj. No one can defeat me. So they have this kind of arrogance and pride in their voice. Do you know who this is? This is Arjun, punch Pandava. Oh, excuse me. Sir, yes, sir. Nandavats. So they have this. This is their nature. So Veera has a quality of a hero in Veera Ras. So she's Veera. Veera Sakhi, Veera and Brinda, they're the chief messengers. The messenger, Sakhi, SMS, Sakhi Messenger Service of Shamsundar. Shamsundar's messenger service. So then he describes, Veera speaks to Radharani in verse 20. Oh Radharani, why are you turning away from me? Where are you going? Listen, you proud Sakhi. Listen to my words. Oh, charming, beautiful young girl, oh Radha, now just go and meet Krishna, Giridhari. Do not run away from him in anger. So Veera Devi is acting as a messenger. The message is to bring Radha and Krishna together. So Radharani comes out on Avisar with Veera Devi, and she's approaching Krishna, and then she changes her mind and becomes very shy and submissive, and then she turns away, "Oh, forget it, I'm going home, I don't want to meet him." And then Vira says, "Wait a minute, come on. You have to go, don't run away." So this is an example Rupa Goswami gives. That's Vira. She's one of the chief sahayakas, female assistants and helpers, messengers for Krishna's Madhurya Leela. Then, of course, the other one is Brinda. So Vira speaks boldly. Here it says she speaks boldly and arrogantly and proudly. And here it says Brinda Devi is expert at flattery. Vira Pragalba. So Vira Sakhi is Pragalba. That means very heavy, very contrary. Vira Pragalba Vachana. Then Brinda Chatukti Peshala. She grinds around. She grinds away everyone's resistance. Says so she's expert at flattery. And apparently speaking like arrogantly and proudly. So now here's an example. Brinda Devi approaches one of the Sakhis. And she offers obeisances to that Sakhi. And she asks her a question. "Listen, O Sundari, your eyes are as restless but yet graceful as two Kanjan birds." That's these little tiny black birds. Sometimes see them here in Braj. Very small, tiny black bird. Little tiny beak. Then the tail goes straight up like this. Goes up out the back. It's a little body of the bird like that. And his tail goes like this. And this goes up like that. And it's totally black, really shiny black. And his tail is always going ta 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 ch ch ch, like really fast. It's like the Kanjan. So when the gopis move their eyes from side to side, it's like Kanjan. Kanjan bird. Even today you can see. I've seen it in the garden. "So I beg you, O Sundari, beautiful Sakhi, just please answer my question. What are these dangerous snakes of your eyebrows?" Because the dangerous snakes of your eyebrows have bitten Krishna. Now that Krishna is stunned by the poison of your eyebrow bite, he's wandering aimlessly in the forest. And because of being possessed by your glance, he's not able to return to his home in Braj. So he's gone a little crazy from just a sidelong glance of a beautiful gopi. He's just wandering in the forest. "Oh, she looked at me. Oh, wow. What is her name? I hope I see her again." And Krishna's wandering aimlessly, hoping to see that one again. So Brinda Devi has noticed this as she's moving through the forest. So then she tells that. "So the gopi messengers headed by Vira are extraordinary associates of Krishna. And other gopi associates include Shilpakarani, Daivagya, and Lingini. And they'll be described later on." So there's a whole group of messengers and servants that all have all different skills and talents that help Radha and Krishna come together and keep the pastimes moving and keep the channels of communication clear and open between the two parties. So this concludes chapter 2. And then we can start chapter 3. So basically these chapters are introducing different characters and players in the Leela. It's not only Krishna and Radha. We say Krishna, Radha, Krishna, and the gopis, and the gopas. Well, which gopis and what gopas and what do they do? And so it's a whole society of love. Like in any human society, take a city of Munich. So there's the sanitation department, there's the electric department, there's the water department, and then there's the street department and maintenance department of the streets, public works, and the parks. Then there's the legislative department and the reinforcement, law enforcement department. Many, many departments all working together to make a city function properly and successfully. Many people involved in many departments. So here in Krishna's Leela, Ujjala Neelamani, it's a whole city, it's a whole country, it's a whole land of love, of Madhurya love of Krishna Gopis' loving pastimes. So there's a whole entire hierarchy, entire practically army of Sakis and Mandris and Gopas that are all employed in the service of the government of love. It's the government of love rather than a political government. It's a government of love, and everyone, just like they have the mail department, U.S. mail department, the state, usually the department of the mail is run by the country or state. So here Krishna has messengers and gopi lovers and servants and arrangers, so many. And so Rupa Goswami is trying to introduce us and familiarize us with some of this. It's highly technical, it's highly complex. But this is one of the most important textbooks to go through and get some basic idea of all the wonderful interactions and different players that are all, everyone's rendering their service to the center. And everyone's service, although it may look small, is actually very important for the whole Leela to go on very nicely and perfectly. Everyone's needed. Everyone has everyone's part. And everyone's role in seva is crucial and very important. So everyone does, no one feels it left out, or everyone's doing something. Just like when Ramchandra was building a bridge to Sri Lanka to attack Ravana and retrieve Sita. And then the announcement went out, oh please, everyone, please help build the bridge. Everyone bring some rocks and pebbles and stones. So every living entity, the humans and the monkeys and the squirrels and the birds and tigers and wolves and lions and elephants, everyone was picking up stones and boulders and bringing them to throw on the bridge, to make the bridge in the Indian Ocean, Setu Bandha. So they were all connected to the center. They were all pleasing Krishna. Although some were just carrying little tiny pebble, kankan. And Hanuman was carrying whole mountains, just throwing whole mountains in the ocean. And Ram was pleased by everyone's endeavor, because everyone's endeavor made the final result of his crossing the ocean and bringing back Sita. So in this Loka Vrindavan Leela, Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna, all these wonderful servants, and they move the Leela right along. To keep the Leela moving, they have to keep, this one enters and that one enters and this one enters. It's actually a very dynamic realm of loving exchanges. So this is now chapter 3. We can, there's some tika here, Vishnu's tika. Jiva Goswami says this when the Veera is telling Radharani, don't run away from Krishna. Now is the time you've been waiting for. You should run to Krishna. Where are you going? So then Jiva Goswami says, Veera Sakhi is saying, hey Radharani, run to Madhav. He's now become a beautiful, blooming youth. And if you don't go now, he will become attracted to some other women of his age. And then you will regret it. You'll regret it if you do not go now. To make the intention very clear, Veera Sakhi says, you fool! This is a bold utterance, arrogant, bold utterance. So the statement is finished. And she says, listen, just go with great attachment. Don't worry about your husband, he's insignificant. Because he's used the word Madhavam. She says, go to Madhav. But Dava means the Lakshmi. Dava means the wife of Vishnu. It says Ma means not. So in other words, the Madhava means the husband of Lakshmi Devi. Or it can be Na Dava. So Rupa Goswami is saying that go to Madhav, Krishna, because your Dava, your husband, is Ma. He doesn't exist. There's no problem. There's some play on Sanskrit. So Vishnu says that Krishna's flute may be considered a duty or a messenger, because it's never separated from Krishna. Wherever Krishna is, his flute is. It's like part of his body. So therefore, it's considered an assigned messenger, Aptaduti. He's been entrusted with the role of being Krishna's messenger. Brinda, Brindarika, Krishna's flute music are all messengers. Krishna's commentary then. Text 22, which we read. So Brinda is speaking here about this Sundari with beautiful eyes. So Brinda is speaking, and by moving her eyebrows, this gopi's eyebrows are like snakes. Krishna becomes bitten and fatigued, and he's wandering about. Just go see Krishna again and again, move your eyebrows up and down. Then you'll bite Krishna again and revive him. So your first bite of your eyebrows poisoned him, and now he's bewildered. But if you look at him again, then the poison will be removed, and he'll become steady and fall in love with you when you look at him for the second time. Oh, that's what he says. According to folklore, if a person is bitten by a snake, if that snake comes again and bites him, he recovers. One poison counteracts the other poison. That may be folklore, but I know in the village, I live in a village here, and I know many stories of ladies or gents are harvesting wheat or some other grains in the field, and they get bitten two or three times by the same cobra, and they die. So the second bite doesn't neutralize the first bite. One of my friends, his wife, she was working a bit bitter on the foot, and she just felt like this sting. So her natural response, she just kicked her foot. You know, it's like she just kicked her foot and threw the cobra off her foot, then came back again and bit her again. Then she kicked again, and it came back again. And she was finished in about 5 minutes. So that was destiny, 3 times in a row. So I wouldn't follow this folklore and try to get bitten once and say, well, bite me again. So that's definitely lore of the folks. So these are described, Brinda, Brindarika, Mela. So now this is chapter 3, and this is Krishna's beloveds. Now, because we heard about Krishna and his helpers for 2 chapters. Krishna and his helpers and messengers, and all his helpers and all his sukkas and Sridham and Priyanarma sukkas and Pitamarda sukkas and Vitas and Chetas and Vidushakas, and all the Gopi Chetas and Vitas and Pitamarda and then these other ones, they're all assisting him to bring him to who? To his beloveds, to Radharani, his sweethearts. So now enter the Gopis. The heroine, chapter 3. So this is called Swakia and Parakia. The sweethearts of Krishna, the married sweethearts and the unmarried sweethearts. Because Krishna has a married aspect in Dwarka and an unmarried form and feature in Vrindavan. Srupa Goswami Pad begins this chapter by saying this, verse 1. The gopis have personal qualities like Krishna himself. And the gopis are filled with sweet opulence of great and intense love for Krishna. So this is their wealth, the wealth of love. And Ramananda Sambhag, Ramananda Roy, is asked by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, who is a wealthy man? Who is wealthy? Who is a dhani, dhaniwala? A wealthy person is someone who has pure love for Radha and Krishna. This is a wealthy person. This is real wealth. So this is what's being said here, that the gopis, they have the opulence, they have the wealth of sweet love for Krishna. Prem samadurya sampadam, their sampat. Their sampat means their wealth, their treasures, their sweet prem. Then he says, Rupa Goswami, he's stepping outside of the narrative here. He's offering respects to these gopis that he's about to glorify, his big sisters, so to speak, because he's Rupa Manjari. So he steps outside the narrative and then he says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Braja gopis. They are filled with the most sublime transcendental sweetness. They are the crest jewels of all those who have rendered devotional service. They have carefully studied under their tutor youthfulness. Tutor means like a teacher that helps you with your studies. So they've carefully studied under the teacher known as blooming youth. And they have thus displayed their skill in amorous pastimes to Krishna. So this is, he's offering obeisances to these very youthful Kishoris, Sukumari Kishoris, who are so expert in Kamakala. Kamakala Nipun. They're very expert in the art of satisfying the lover in the loving pastimes. So naturally, Krishna finds his greatest pleasure there, so they must be very expert in their intimate loving affairs with Krishna. And of course, of all the gopis, no one can please Krishna like Radharani. So he begins by describing of these two, Swakya and Parakya, of married and unmarried. He talks about the ladies that are married to Krishna. They have accepted Krishna's hand in marriage, and they diligently follow his orders. They're very faithful to him, like the queens of Dwarka. They are devoted to their husband. I mean, they're very devoted to Krishna, and they carefully walk on the auspicious path of religious principles, and they happily follow the orders of their elders and superiors. Very interesting. The queens follow the orders of their elders and superiors, but the gopis of Vrindavan don't even listen to them. What to speak of follow the orders of their elders or superiors. Don't meet that black snake. Don't even look in his direction. Don't even smell the air coming from his body. Don't even walk on the same ground that contains his footprints. Stay far away from him. Oh yeah, yeah, sure, definitely. As soon as they walk out the door, where is he? And they run to the fragrance of Krishna, and they're running, and they're trying, where is it? Somewhere here. Then they look down, oh, there's his footprints, and then they follow his footprints. So they very diligently and dutifully disobey, diligently and dutifully disobey every order of their elders and superiors. And the parents say, don't go, they go. And the parents say, don't look, they look. When the elders say, don't talk to Krishna, they talk. Stop writing love notes to Krishna. Yes, okay, I'll write two today instead of one. So then they write two in one day instead of one. Because when you fall in love, all kinds of things go on, you know. So when Krishna's in Purvarag with Radharani, there's so many, they're doing paintings, sending paintings back and forth of each other. And they're writing love notes and love poems. And it's really quite an amazing literary time. It's an amazing literary, creative time for the lover and the sweetheart. When Krishna and the gopis fall in love, they become very creative with the writing style, writing so many things. Then later it's just all sweet talks and love talks, and they don't have to write so many letters. They're both convinced. They both accepted each other for eternal time. So he says, Krishna says to his queen, Rukmini, my dear honored wife, my most honorable Putni, although I have thousands of wives, I don't think any of them can love me more than you. The proof of this is your extraordinary position is that you never even saw me before you married me. You simply heard about my glories and beauty and exploits, and just by hearing about me, you became madly in love with me. And you fixed your mind completely on me, and you wouldn't accept anyone else to be your husband but me. Even though there were so many people and kings that were highly qualified, rich and beautiful, but you did not select any of them as your husband because you insisted on me. So this is Krishna's telling this to his Swakya lover, the Mahishi, his wife, his lawfully married wife. He's glorifying her love and showing that it didn't arise from sight. It was not love at first sight. It was just by hearing she became so attached. So we're not seeing Krishna, but we're hearing about Krishna. And we're hearing about Radharani and Braj Leela. So the more we hear and the more we read, the more we become attached, like Rukmini. She taught that the process of hearing about Krishna leads to meeting Krishna. And just by hearing about Krishna, one will eventually attain the direct association of Krishna and the eternal service of Krishna, like Rukmini. So then, Rupa Goswami goes on, and he says that this verse, it's very well known that Krishna is the hero of the Yadu dynasty, and he had 108 wives in Dwarka. So then he says, each queen has thousands of girlfriends and maidservants. It's just like Braj Leela. Each gopi has thousands of sakis and mandris with her. Like Lalita Sakhi has Asta Sakhis. And then each of those sakis has 8 mandris. So Lalita Sakhi has her own 8 sakis and her own 8 mandris. And each of those 8 sakis has, Lalita has 8 mandris and each mandri has 8 more mandris. There's a whole army of maidservants just with Lalita. So the same thing, all the queens and the maidservants of Dwarka, then we have the gopis and the maidservants of Vrindavan. The friends were equal to the queens in beauty and personal qualities, but the maidservants were a little inferior. Of all these queens, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jamavati, Kalindi, Shaivya, Bhadra, Kaushalya, and Madri were the 8 most qualified. These 8 sakis are mentioned in a verse in Skanda Puran, which is quoted in the Tika of the Bhagavatam by Vishnu Chakravarti, and he gives the identity of which each one of these. Rukmini is Chandravali, Satyabhama is Radharani, and Jambavati is Alita, and Kalindi Vishaka, no, Kalindi is Yamuna, and Shaivya. They, each one has their counterpart. You can see there. These are their expanded forms in this Dwarka Leela. Of all these queens, Rukmini and Satyabhama are the best. Rukmini is exalted because of her opulence, wealth, and prestige. And Satyabhama is exalted because of her extreme good fortune. They both have good fortune. But there's some story that Satyabhama did some tapasya in one life. She observed Purushottam Vrat for 1 month, and then she got Krishna as her husband. Some type of Leela here in some expanded form. But somehow they generally it's told that Rukmini, she's the first queen, and she's considered, because her own family was so wealthy, Rukma or whatever her father's name, he was extremely wealthy, so Satyabhama's family wasn't very wealthy. So in that sense, she's more opulent, and she's the first one, considered to be the favorite queen of Krishna. She's had the greatest opulence in Krishna's palace, but Satyabhama was the most fortunate. Lord Krishna says to Rukmini, of all my 16,000 wives, no one is more dear to me than you. You are dear to me as my own life breath. The next verse it says, both Rukmini and Satyabhama have hundreds of thousands of friends, maidservants, and they're all full of love for them. Now it switches to the girls of Gokul. The gopis of Vrindavan, the young girls of Gokul, are very eager to get Krishna as their husband. Although the circumstances of their lives never allowed them to love Krishna, Swakiya married love. Then it goes on, he says, the gopis' intense love for Krishna may be seen in the following statement. When Krishna was staying in Mathura, one gopi in Vrindavan spoke to her friend. This is text 15. She says, oh Sakhi, if Krishna does not return here to Braj to enjoy pastimes with us, if he doesn't come back, then what does it matter that Braj's saintly queen Yashoda's always been affectionate like a mother to me? So the gopis are saying, Mother Yashoda was so kind to us and so affectionate and loved us like her daughters. But now her son has gone to Mathura, and if he doesn't come back, and what does it matter to me that all the gopis, all love me more than their own life's breath? And what does it matter that Vrindavan forest is more glorious than the forest of Vaikuntha? What value do all these things have if we cannot enjoy pastimes with the peacock-feathered crowned Krishna? To attain Krishna as our husband, we dutifully worship goddess Uma. So, of course, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna did marry the gopis. I mean, there's 3 categories of gopis in Vrindavan. There's the married gopis, they're already married gopis like Radharani and Lalita Vishakha and Krishna and Parakya Bhav with them. And then there's a group of unmarried gopis like Danya. One is named Danya, D-H-A-N-Y. They're not married, and Krishna, they have an intimate relationship with Krishna also, although they're not married to anyone else. And that's considered by Gandharva marriage. They met in the forest one day, and Krishna made a flower garland, and he put it on her neck, and she made a flower garland and put it on his neck. So, okay, now you're my wife, and you're my husband. So this is one. Then the third one is that the gopis, the sages of Dandakaranya, they worship Katyayani. And then Krishna became their husband by stealing their clothes. And that was like a Gandharva marriage also. But then acharyas say that later, after that, Krishna danced in the ras with them. And then Yogamaya announced to everyone in Vrindavan, she said, this year is a very good year to get all your sons married to gopis. And so when Purnamasi made that announcement, it was at the same time that Brahma stole all the coward boys and the calves. So for 1 year, all the young, unmarried coward boys of Vrindavan were locked in a cave. And then Krishna expanded and became all those coward boys. So during that year, when Purnamasi said that all the unmarried gopis should get married, then Krishna married them as those individual sakas. Very interesting. Ultimately, everyone is Krishna's wife, one way or the other. They're all his energies. So so she's saying that, what is the value? Because if Krishna's not here, Vrindavan means nothing. Yashoda's love means nothing. All the love and the service of the sakis means nothing. And my own prana, my own life breath means nothing if Krishna's not here to accept our seva and to be with us. And what's the point of all of our puja and worship to Sriyadeva or Durga? Surya for Radharani or Durga for Chandravali. So it says, it is true that Krishna married the gopis by the Gandharva rite. However, because their marriage was kept a secret, their love could not be openly admitted. So Danya and all those girls, Krishna married them by this Gandharva arrangement. And then they just stayed like that. They're actually married to Krishna, but they pretended they were not married. So this is the Swakya, describing the Swakya. And tomorrow we'll begin the Parakya. And we'll look back on some of these tikkas also, and we'll select appropriate ones to read. We're just hearing about the just nice, sweet glories about Krishna and the gopis and the different lovers. Very complicated, but also very nice topics.